Today's episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by Care Of. Care Of is a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamin and supplement packs right to your door. Inner Ho Uprising. Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, feminist, pansexual ho living in New York City.
And me, Akua, one black, queer, voyeuristic person.
Wow. I like how it changes.
I'm telling you, every
week. It swaps out. So on this show, we have two types of episodes. They are group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of the show, and one of my rotating co-hosts, this week we have Akua, talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. And on group episodes, we all come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. This episode happens to be an interview episode.
This episode, we're talking to a cuck queen who is a woman who derives sexual excitement from watching her partner be with someone else sexually. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, we'll do a couple of short segments, and they are Bay of the Week,
where we talk about people who we find attractive.
Ho of the Week,
where we shout out y'all, the homies, the listeners, and the fans.
Self-care tip of the week,
where we give some advice on how to take care of yourself.
And Pay a Ho,
where we beg for the money that we desperately, desperately need.
And if you guys would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Ho Uprising so we can see it, and the hashtag Pod In so other people can see it.
Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to do so. So please, to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Bay of the Week.
Bay, bay, bay.
Did you have any bays?
Do I like people? Still no.
Yeah, I don't like people, but there are people who did great things.
Yes.
And people who need to be honored. So I'm going to talk for 5 minutes because there's mad people here. All right, first up, shout out to Janelle and Omoteo from Sippin' and Spillin'. They are also of the Ryan Health Network. So through the Ryan Health Network, which is an organization dedicated to providing people with HIV and STI prevention services, Janelle and Omoteo created this really cool event series called Sippin' and Spillin', which is basically an open conversation for black and brown women to talk about sex and to talk about things like STI prevention and to talk about things like living with STIs and to talk about like why fuck boys keep ghosting you and when to get tested and which lube to use and things like that. So they actually invited all of us to host their event, but I was the only hoe who was free because I am unemployed now. So I went and moderated this really lovely like Q&A session. And first of all, I want to thank them for inviting us. But second of all, thank you for like doing this work.
Yes.
This was such a good event.
It looked amazing.
I wish you were there. We got to go to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But Rodeca was there and we had a great fucking time. Some people who were there, there's this really awesome person named Molly who's with this organization called Cup Queen. Mm-hmm. And so Molly was on her campus or whatever and somehow like was talking to this person who is in a fraternity, mind you, about the fact that people could use things like diva cups and menstrual cups just in life, especially mm-hmm. like homeless people or transient people, mm-hmm. people in prisons and things like that. So this fraternity gave Molly money. Men?
A fraternity.
Yes.
Gave Molly.
An organization of men.
Heterosexual.
Yes, I'm presuming.
Assuming, yes,
I'm presuming. Yeah, I'm not sure. But mm-hmm. I think so. Gave a woman money to buy things that people with vaginas need to other people with vaginas.
I don't believe this. Like, you damn lie.
Yes. Like, is this a myth? Like, what? Like, in 200 years, we're going to be like, huh? The great fraternity one day that existed. But yeah, sure as hell, Molly came to fucking Sippin' and Spillin' with her goddamn menstrual cups. It was giving them away for free. So, bitch, I have a menstrual cup now.
Yes.
And next period, I will be calling
yes.
you. Like, cool, what do I do?
Well, actually, the best thing you should do is start practicing insertion when you're not on your period.
Oh, God. Okay, so I have nothing to do tonight.
Get
so
that fuck water. And just figure it out. I will send you a video that really helped me.
Okay. Okay.
And we're good. We're good.
Oh, gosh. I'm so nervous but excited.
And also, Queen wrote a really good article, I think, for like her day job.
For Miss Vixen? Yeah. Oh, for her day job.
Is that not her, is that not her day job? I don't know what Queen does. But she wrote a really good article about menstrual cups and insertion and things like that, which also really helped me. Shout out to Queen.
Wow. Andrea. I gotta read that.
So, yes.
Look at, I'm so happy. Yeah. I'm so happy. Thank you, Molly, for bringing those goddamn menstrual cups. Because it's like so stupid, like, tampons, like, if I buy like 2 packs of tampons, it's gonna cost me the exact same thing as a menstrual cup. Exactly. But I'm just like, when I see that first like $36, I'm like, nah, you bugging, that's wild expensive.
And for me, I used to buy flavors of tampons, like every size, because I seriously went through all sizes, and that would cost me a hefty dollar. And now it's just me and my menstrual cup and a pot of water at the end.
Chilling. Wow. Love
that. It's all free. It's
like me and my boo and my boo boo ride. I just saw you in like a little menstrual cup.
Yeah.
Like in your car, like, hey.
Best thing. But yes.
That's cute.
And the fact that Molly's doing that ever since I started using a menstrual cup, that was like one of my goals to create a way to give out menstrual cups. Yeah. So where does fraternity at?
Like, yeah, exactly. Y'all giving out more money or
we are in a whole uprising with love.
Yeah.
To be giving out menstrual cups.
Dead ass. That would be so beautiful.
Other services that people need.
I love it. Also at Sippin' and Spillin', because it was such a goddamn good event, was Nico, who is a sexual educator at Pleasure Chest. Mm-hmm. And they were just giving all of this advice about lubes and condoms and sex toys that I didn't even know. Mm-hmm. I cannot recall any of it right now because I was drinking at the time, but I wrote some of it down on my phone. I was like, yes. First of all, I mean, this is the one that I did remember because I think the very next day I tried it, but that you should put like lube in the condom before putting it on someone's penis. Did you know that?
No.
Not that you should, but apparently it makes it feel better.
So it logistically makes sense, but most of us just thought it already had lube in it, but it has spermicide in it.
Shout out to Nico. And they were going through like the different types of lubes to use when you're using particular toys or whatever, and the very specific indication. Like, I always thought that like those like porous condoms, the porous, you know, like those bad dildos that like things slide off or whatever. I always thought that was bad in terms of sharing it with different partners. And I'm like, something's going in there. Mm-hmm. But they said that it's not bad for that. But if you use a condom, obviously, it's not bad for that if you use a condom, because whatever, like STIs or whatever, or little bugs are not going to go. I meant like germs. I'm sorry. Not actual bugs. Not like crabs or anything like that. I'm sorry. little bugs. You got flies in your pussy, bitch? No, I don't have flies in my pussy. I wish you just ignored that.
I couldn't. Bugs is like...
Microorganisms.
Yes.
Microorganisms. Mm-hmm. They said that they can't go through that, but the cancerous material on those dildos can go through condoms.
Wow.
Because these carcinogens are out here wild and jumping.
Barriers and shit.
Nigga, like, sperm can't get through there. Like, what the fuck? But you just out here.
Yeah.
So that was, like, really important to me because I know someone who has those kind of dildo or that kind of dildo. And I was like, yo, my nigga. Yo, you giving niggas cancer.
Be careful.
Exactly.
Be careful.
You gotta stop. You gotta throw that out. So shout out to Nico and Pleasure Chest. Shout out to Faye, who's also from Ryan Health, who was the other moderator there. Mm-hmm. And I just loved Faye. Okay. Faye seemed like a middle-aged woman or whatever who like loved podcasts and loved talking about sex and loved educating people. And I was just like, I'm gonna shout you out.
Yes.
I like you.
Hey,
thank you
Faye.
For doing this. Yes. Hey Faye, I hope you listen now. But if you don't, that's okay too. Shout out to Ryan of Healthyish, who was there doing like Snapchat and Instagram coverage of the event.
Mm-hmm.
Cool person.
Yes.
Also kind of attracted to Ryan. That is why.
Hey, Ryan.
Doing good work. That is why you get a shout out. Fauna and Ami, who are going to be on an episode in the future, but they are of the podcast.
Rasere.
I'm so glad that you said it because I was like, oh, I can't. They are Swedish podcasters, Swedish black women podcasters who host the biggest feminist/anti-racist podcast in Scandinavia. Mm-hmm. And they're great. And they're doing a really cool documentary here about strip club culture. A really popular podcast. They have books and Instagram. Like, they're just doing it. And then also very fucking attractive.
No. Let's talk about... It's how fine they are.
It's the fact that the Inner Uprising group chat has like only been talking about that for a couple of days.
Like, these are gorgeous, and they're just doing such great work, and it's like, yes,
I almost want to cry.
Yeah,
because I love them so much. And they're so nice and so smart. Oh. And like just good people. Look out for that episode, and if you speak Swedish, please listen to them, and if you don't, follow them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then finally, shout out to Jasmine of Wasted Studios.
No, but for real though, shout out to Jasmine.
Do you have your
my waist beads came in the mail? And because I, you know, the funny thing is, the other day I thought about it, I was like, she said she was gonna follow up with me via email.
Yeah,
you know, following the event, and I still ain't heard nothing from her. But then I wasn't gonna sweat it because it's free. Well, it was free for me, so I was like, let me not rush this girl. Yeah, let her do what she got to do. And yeah, then it like popped up in the mail, and I was like, yeah.
Because remember, Jasmine actually did a waist bead tutorial and was one of the vendors at the event we did in July. Mm-hmm. Remember at the event, she was like, the person who makes your waist bead, like, you have to be connected, yes, mentally and spiritually, like they really have to have your back. Jasmine has our backs, and her art is mad nice. Mm-hmm. She makes waist beads and she makes other wearable art, so definitely follow her at Wasted Studio on Instagram. That will be in the description for this episode.
And my waist beads got me feeling extra thottish. I don't know what it is. What
they do. Yes. Honestly, there was a point where I stopped wearing waist beads and only put them on for dick appointments. Just to like,
yeah.
And then fucking one time I went to this dick appointment, and this nigga was like, you know those don't do anything, right? What the fuck are you? What is it supposed to do, you idiot? Men. Anyway, yes, I hate men. Speaking of which, now we're going to get into something a little bit sadder. Much sadder, actually. So I'm going to give a trigger warning for trans antagonism and just death, I guess.
Murder.
Death, yeah. Murder, yeah. If you're not comfortable with hearing those things right now, please skip about 3 minutes forward. I want to take our Bay of the Week section to give out some, like, rest in pieces and rest in powers for the week, to hold space, honor, and respect the Black trans sisters killed in a spate of killings in Florida. So this year alone, 5 Black trans women have been murdered in Florida alone.
One state.
One single state. And I want to use this time now to remind people about some, like, statistics, because we see these things, like, I do, mm-hmm, and you do, because we engage with our queer community, yes, at large, but other people don't do things like that. But, like, oftentimes we see people saying, like, oh, well, you know, I knew her and she was killed or whatever, mm-hmm, or this girl from my community was killed. But there's not really much numbers behind it. And I guess because that people don't pay attention, not that we need numbers. Like, if people are saying, help me, I feel like just help people, mm-hmm, or listen to what they're saying. But if you needed statistics or whatever, last year, based on a mike.com database about trans homicides, and this was just me doing very loose math because I could not get an actual number on the rate of homicides amongst Black trans women. Mm-hmm. So I gathered that, and this was from the FBI, that within the general population, 1 in 19,000 people are murdered. But for Black trans women, that number was about 1 in 2,600, which is a fucking epidemic. So, like, mm-hmm, open your eyes. And then today I was trying to see if there were numbers still. So I didn't get an exact number, but the American Journal of Public Health did a study and found that homicide rates of young trans feminine Black and Latina people are certainly higher than those of their cis femme counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
And they specifically urged anti-violence public health programs to identify young Black and Latinx trans women as a particularly vulnerable population.
Mm-hmm.
So I say all this to say that this is an epidemic. So stop your casual transphobia. Stop letting your homies make trans women feel unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
Stop calling niggas who fuck with trans women gay, mm-hmm, because that's also violent, because that makes niggas go crazy and do things like, oh, if my homie knows, then I have to fucking, like, hurt this woman to a certain, mm-hmm, my masculinity. If you see someone on the street who's getting harassed, especially if it is a Black trans or Latinx trans woman, step in and do something, since you want to be a fucking big man. Like, mm-hmm, how about that? If that's who you want to pick on the nigga who's picking on somebody else. Do better. Stop using the wrong pronouns. All around, just be a better individual.
Mm-hmm.
Be a better person. So I want to take this time to hold space for these 5 Black trans women who were killed in Florida. And their names are London Moore Kennard, Sasha Garden, Celine Walker, Antonia English, and Kathalina Christina James. It is very emotionally taxing to have that conversation and to say things like this over and fucking over and over again. But I think it is important that we do so. So please, like, spread the word to your folks and be better and do better. Also want to take this time to hold space for one of the founders of Stripper Strike NYC. So if you don't remember, that was a hashtag created roughly a year ago, highlighting some of the labor issues amongst strippers who work here in New York City, like the fact that bartenders come in and literally steal money from off the stage and having to pay exorbitantly high, what is it, like house fees and stuff like that, like if a rapper or something is coming in, and just general labor rights violations that people don't listen to because people don't think stripping is real work, even though you can fucking go to the strip club and you are entertained and people should be compensated.
You're providing a service.
Exactly.
That person should be compensated.
Exactly.
Just as anywhere just else you
basic,
go.
Just basic rules of capital. Like, this is the structure that we're in. We set these rules. Let's at least follow them equally for everybody. But one of the founders of Stripper Strike NYC, Vanity, lost her life recently, and her family has a GoFundMe right now in order to get her body back home and to hold a good celebration of life service for her. So if you're able, we would love it if you were able to. If you're able, it would be awesome if you could contribute to that GoFundMe, and that will be in the description of this episode, the link for the GoFundMe. Now let's get back up on the uptick. Ho of the week. So we have Mad People Came to Sippin' and Spillin'.
Okay.
Mad IHU listeners. So I want to shout out Prisma, Ashley, Amari, and Amani, who all came to Sippin' and Spillin', supported your girl, your boy, supported me, supported the event, had wine, drank, and then also, like, engaged in a little awkward conversation with me because I was like, I don't know how to human. How are you doing today, Prisma? Thank you for making me feel normal, and thank you for supporting, and definitely please come out to the next event. And then also shout out to Danny and Cleo, who I think recently started listening to Inner Hoe Uprising a couple of months ago.
Like, those names aren't familiar.
Because one time I asked Danny and Cleo to be on the show via Twitter.
Okay.
And they ghosted me. They did not respond to that. And then a couple of like months later, they were like, oh, we love Inner Hoe Uprising. And I'm like, nigga, I've been loved. Yeah, I want you to be on the show.
It's fine. Some people learn at their own pace. Yeah.
But I think, well, I don't remember if it was Danny or Cleo. They're a couple, by the way, who have a very interesting podcast. But one time, one of them was like, I hope I get to be Ho of the Week one day. Here it
is. The day.
Both of you, Danny and Cleo, Ho of the Week. Thank you. Shout out to their podcast. I'll put a link for that in the episode description as well.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, well, not finally, because we also have to get paid, but self-care tip of the week. If you're freelancing or unemployed like me, I am both technically, schedule your day out and stick to it. So I feel like the first week out, I was like, and that was that week. And then the second week out, I was like, oh, okay, let me try to do stuff. So I was like I've secured some gigs, and I'd be like, well, when do I work on this? And when do I work on this? So I'd be working on something, and then I'd want to go and
switch
do something
off.
Else. And then I'd be like, oh, but there are Inner Hoe Uprising emails to answer, whatever. And I'll be like, oh, but Netflix, I'm home, self-care. Yeah. I just went through something traumatic. So I literally have like a weekly schedule where I'm like, okay, this is for this show. This is for this show. This is time to like send out pitches or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is time to chill mad hard. Like, it literally says chill mad hard.
Good.
And I'm not sticking to it 100%, but just like the fact that it's there so that I can look back. If it's like Tuesday at 3 p.m., I'm like, okay, what should I be doing now? It's like something to ease me back into actually being productive instead of like my mind racing all over the place, which it does in general.
Mm-hmm.
So, self-care tip. And finally, pay a hoe. If you would like to help support this show monetarily, you can do so by going to innerhoeuprising.com and clicking the tab Pay a Hoe Once or Pay a Hoe Monthly. Pay a Hoe Once will take you to our PayPal, where you can drop in any donation that you want at any time that you want. And Pay a Hoe Monthly will take you to our Patreon, where you can either donate $2 a month, which will give you early access to buying tickets for IHU gatherings and stuff like that. And you can also pay $5 a month, which will give you all of that, as well as access to behind the scenes content and whatever we feel like throwing up there. Honestly, there might be an episode, there might be an old polyamorous episode that I might put up there at some point. So all the extra stuff, you got it. But most importantly, you're like just helping us sustain the show, just because like niggas don't have jobs, man. Okay. Do I have to go through this whole thing? Niggas don't have jobs, man. Right? Like, at one point we were like new merchandise, and then things got weird.
Yes.
That's what this type of money goes towards. New merchandise coming soon. I fucking promise. I swear. If you are in New York City for the weekend, this weekend, this coming weekend, September 22nd and September 23rd, we're going to be at Sex Expo, and we're going to have a booth, and we're going to be selling merchandise, and we're going to, I always say we're going to twerk.
We are gonna,
yeah.
Because when do we not?
That is true. Yeah. When? Like once I step into my room, it's like, all right,
I'm twerking.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're gonna twerk. We're gonna give out some free condoms. Hopefully. Yeah, and it'll be good. And then we're doing a little workshop about how to get your partner to please you.
Mm-hmm.
That should be pretty cool. Called 1-2-3. The 1-2-3s of how to please me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So come out to that. And then if you're around for the next two Sundays, come to Love Story and watch Insecure with us.
Yes. It's always lit.
It's always lit. What do? We watch the previous episode. Mm-hmm. We watch the episode that actually aired that day. Mm-hmm. We drink. We talk shit. I run around and try to have sex. That is exciting. I shamelessly hit on people in the building.
Ooh, yes,
you can see that.
It is very interesting. I will, you know, play you in a game of Jenga. Yes. You know, good fun.
Different types of things. Yeah, Rebecca will go out and get high with you. Probably.
Yes,
we'll just
literally real good vibes.
She'll take a walk around the block with you. Like, we're all drinking. It's very good. And it's also at a really cool bar called Love Story, which is Black and Brown owned. Support Black and Brown business in Brooklyn, in Bushwick. Because, yes, you know, that shit might not exist. Like,
and
Black
couple.
And Brown businesses. Also, we get to meet Christina of Remove, whose,
yes,
organization is literally aimed at, like, stopping the effects of gentrification in East New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then New York City as a whole. Come out. We're all good people. And we just want to watch Insecure with you.
Fuck.
Yeah, we just want to watch a show with you. Like, why the fuck haven't you come yet?
Like,
and then the last episode, September 30th, I think we're doing something a little bit more special than what we normally do. So definitely, definitely, definitely come out to that. And then one of the niggas from Insecure was there last week.
Wait,
and
you
he was
never,
fine as fuck.
You don't know what's going to happen.
I wasn't there last week. My ass was
even
in Canada when I could have been there with this,
yes,
nigga who's fine as fuck.
He was fine. His girlfriend was fine.
Yeah.
I was enamored. I was like, well.
Niggas are sexy in Love Story.
Yes.
Not limited to us, but mostly us. All right, let's get into the actual segment now, which is called
Fuck It.
Yay.
First they didn't approach you.
This is Sam. Not the Sam in the studio preparing to cuck, but the healthy ass bitch Sam at home taking vitamins and flourishing. As I said at the top, today's episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is sponsored by Care Of. Care Of is a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamins and supplement packs right to your door. I feel like sometime after you stop taking those kitty teen gummy vitamins and before you reach 50, vitamins kind of become this vague concept, like, what the fuck do I need? Where do I even get it? What do these things even do? Care Of steps in and answers those burning questions that we all have. So Care Of's fun online quiz asks you about your diet, health goals, and lifestyle choices, and it only takes 5 minutes to find out what vitamins and supplements you specifically need. Yeah, so I took the quiz and I was really surprised by how in-depth it actually was. Like, one of the first things they asked me was, how skeptical of supplements are you? And I was like, whoa. How did you even know? That's crazy. And then from there, they ask you like these really specific questions about your life. Like, are you about to run a marathon? Are you sick right now at this very moment? Are you getting on a plane soon? Are you fatigued? Are you stressed the hell out? Do you need prenatal vitamins? What are your health goals? What are you eating? Do you consume multiple servings of alcohol in a day? So I went through, did the little quiz. My results came back and they were like, damn, you are stressed the fuck out. And then they were like, sorry to hear that, but here's some rhodiola supplement to calm you the hell down. So then after it gives you the breakdown of which supplements that they suggest that you need, it goes into the breakdowns of studies that support the science of which supplement does what. It was pretty freaking impressive. So I put in an order for some of my suggestions and I forgot about it for a couple of days, and then boom, it was in my mailbox. So actually your vitamins get delivered right to your door in personalized, easy to remember daily packs, perfect for a busy on-the-go lifestyle. And I just like it because instead of like going to the drugstore and like squatting down and then you're looking at all the bottles of the vitamins and then you're Googling on your phone what they do and how much you need and how many milligrams you need, and then you just like give up and you leave and you don't even take your vitamins anyway. Also, there's Care/of's delicious nutrient-packed quick stick powders that can be added to your monthly delivery for an extra easy boost wherever you need it. So I popped an extra batteries quick stick just a little while ago, and that one specifically is for days where you need some more energy. And I'm recording this for you at 5 a.m. So I'd say it's doing its job, right? So if you want to be like me and take care of yourselves and you want to receive 25% off your first month of personalized Care/of vitamins, visit takecareof.com and enter promo code HOE. That's promo code HO. One more time, for 25% off your first month of personalized Care/of vitamins, visit takecareof.com and enter promo code HO. All right, now let's talk to a healthy ho who loves to hear about her husband getting his dick sucked. Back to the show. Now we're going to get into our topic of the day, which is fuck it, and today we'll be talking about the wonderful world of being a cuck queen. For folks who don't know what the word cuck queen is, it's a male version of cuckold. In its original form, a cuck queen means a wife or a woman who knows their spouse or partner is unfaithful but pretends to either one, not care, or two, not know. However, it's gone on to become a kink in which one partner is sexually excited by watching the other partner have sex with someone else. Oftentimes, degrading language is directed at the partner watching, and it's also become a genre of porn. So to talk more about this, we have
Shayna, who's joining us from Dallas, Texas. She is a 24-year-old pansexual married Black woman who is a computer tech by day and a podcaster by night. She's a co-host of the A Spec in Space podcast, a podcast hosted by her and her husband, where they discuss random things they find on the internet, tech, and sustainability.
Welcome, Shayna.
Welcome.
Yay.
Thank you.
Before we get into things, I want to note that Shayna is one of the lovely people who, when we ask, hey, can you talk about this? Shayna wrote in.
Yes.
I was like, I need a cuck queen on this show. And she was like, I am.
I am the one you're looking for.
I'm finna talk about it. So we said a little bit in the beginning, that was just a definition that honestly I pulled from Google. But as someone who partakes in cuck queening, how do you define the terms cuck queen and cuckold?
Well, so when I first found out about it, basically it was always just a white guy who liked to watch his wife getting banged by a Black guy.
Yeah.
And so I always thought it was something weird. I was like, who would want that? You know? But so a little background. Whenever I was watching porn on like Pornhub, whatever, you know, I was always into like threesomes and, you know, lesbian stuff, whatever, typical stuff. And then I started getting into the babysitter porn, right?
What is that? Just like when the babysitter, when the husband has sex with the babysitter, those?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. I couldn't figure out why I liked it so much, right? But then I realized it was whenever the wife would like catch the husband sleeping with the babysitter. And I was like, oh, that's actually pretty hot. And so then I realized, I was like, okay, the more I looked into it, I was like, oh, this is just reverse cuckolding or whatever. And I came across cuck queening and I was like, oh, I think that's something that I'm into. So yeah, that's kind of how I got into it. So basically I just define it as me. I just enjoy knowing about my husband being with other women. I don't need the like degrading part. Like I don't really get anything from that. Like, you know, I don't have to get talked down on or anything like that, but I just get turned on by the idea of him being with other women, whether I'm there or not.
I am you, Shayna. I'm like the baby version of you, even though you're younger than me.
I think I am there, but
wait, what?
I think I am there, but there's, and we'll, I'll probably talk, bring it up later, that I don't know, I feel like there's a point where I am turned on, and there's a point where I might get jealous and I might die.
Jealousy rages.
Like, yeah. I don't know because I have yet to experience it, but I'm too afraid of the latter
to open Pandora's box, basically. That's funny. I definitely want to get into that topic of where, if at all, jealousy comes in. But mm-hmm. starting from the very top, so you were watching porn and you were like, I'm really turned on by this. How did you integrate it into your marriage? Well, how long have you even been married?
So we've been married for a year and a half now, but we've been together for almost 6 years. We were already in an open relationship. And so it's kind of funny because when we first started discussing being open or whatever, it was like, you know, really exciting. We were like, oh, we're going to be this progressive couple. And, you know, sex doesn't have to be emotional. We know we love each other, blah, 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 all that stuff. And so then it came down to, okay, who's going to be the first one to step outside the relationship? And it's like Kula was saying, like, you don't know about jealousy and all this kind of stuff. It's like, you're super nervous or whatever. But I was like pushing him out the door. I was like, oh my God, there's so many, like, when, like, we were in college at the time, so I was like, there are so many fine girls around this campus, like, get on Tinder, get on something, like, find a girl. And so it's funny because you would think that, you know, a straight guy or whatever would be jumping on that opportunity, but he was actually so nervous and he didn't really want to go. And I was like, if you don't get your ass out there right now, I'm going to die. And yeah. So he did. And then, like, when he came home, I was like, give me all the details. I want every single small detail. And and I wasn't jealous, so it worked out.
And so have you watched him with another person?
Yes, only once. And it was actually, we were having a threesome with another girl, and I was like, okay, I want to step back and just watch you, like, bang her real quick, you know? And it's kind of funny because he almost ruined it, because, like, while he was in the middle of doing that, he was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm not giving you enough attention. And I was like, leave me alone. And, like, I'm fine.
Mind your business.
But yeah, so that's the only, like, experience with that I've had actually being there to watch. And I mean, it was everything I thought it would be. It was really hot.
How did the other person react, the third?
Oh, she was cool. Like, it's funny though, because I think she really wanted me. Like, she wasn't there to be a cupcake. So a cupcake is the term, like, equivalent to a bull in a cuckolding situation. So, but she wasn't that, right? So she didn't know anything about me being, like, a cuck queen or anything. So she was there just to be, like, a normal threesome or whatever. But I was like, you know, I'm chilling. Y'all go ahead. You know, so she didn't seem bothered by it, but, you know, that's not why she was there.
And then afterwards, like, in the moment, your husband was like, oh, I feel like I'm not giving you enough attention. So afterwards, when you talked about it, did he like it? Like, did that turn him on too? Or,
well, he liked it because he was into her, you know, and I think he didn't really believe me when I said, like, I'm fine, because he's such a sweetheart. And he was like, he just really didn't want me to feel any type of way about this other girl getting all this attention. So when we were talking about it, I was like, you know, I promise you, there's no jealousy, there's no nothing. Like, I'm really into this. And he was like, wow, you're for real about this. And I was like, yeah, I am, you know. So he was like, all right, cool, you know. So.
And how long ago did this happen?
Earlier this year, maybe like March.
So for all this time, you've kind of just been getting excited from the details he would tell you.
Yes.
So, like, after every date is like, give me the lowdown. And then after you get the lowdown, what do you do?
Well, it depends. Like, if while he was out, if he, like, came a few times or something like that and he's tired, then, you know, I'll just go take care of myself or whatever. But if not, then we'll probably end up fucking, you know, because I'm riled up and then he gets riled up because I'm riled up. Like, it's really a kink for me. Like, it's not really his thing, you know what I'm saying? So it doesn't do much for him. But, you know, he really enjoys, like, me being turned on. So it just, I don't know.
And what is it about, like, the details that turn you on? Is it just, like, is it kind of like this taboo thing, or the fact that you should be jealous but you're not, or you just, like, love him so much that you want to see him get pleased?
Yeah, so I think it is a combination of me being a pleaser, and I really, really like knowing that he's being pleasured. Like, even when we're having sex together, like, I get super, like, turned on giving him head or whatever like that. You know, I like seeing him squirm and all that. And so when he's out, I don't know, it's kind of like just knowing, like, oh, you please somebody else because, like, you know, I taught you that. Or, like, I don't know, it's just, like, knowing that I'm not, it's kind of like validation, too. Like, I know that he satisfies me. And so whenever he comes back and it's like, oh, yeah, I was able to make her come multiple times, whatever, I'm like, yeah, okay. So I'm not crazy. You really do got some good dick.
That's some
good
dick.
So I don't know. I just, like, that's my baby. He out there laying down the pipe, you know. He got it going on or whatever. So.
I was
going
to ask, is it kind of like a trophy, or is it like even like an extension of yourself? Like, because some people see relationships, platonic or otherwise, like little parts of yourself, you know. So you're presenting that person out into the world and they represent you in some kind of way. And here he is laying down bomb ass dick everywhere he goes. It's like, yes.
Yeah,
that's me right there.
Is that, and then also, so like, I don't get jealous, but I am kind of competitive. So like, one time he came back and was like, oh my god, this girl was giving me head, she was like so good, and she was doing this and doing that, and I was like, oh shit, like, I don't do that, so let me just start doing that, because ain't no way in hell he's gonna be going out getting head better than what I'm giving up. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't like, oh, I feel bad about myself, but it was like, okay, so there's still levels that I can like improve, like I can do better, so let me start doing even better or whatever. And I like that, you know, because none of us know everything. Mm-hmm. Right? And so him going out and being like, oh, this girl did this, she did that, and I'm like, bet.
Got you, heard. Is there also something to the fact that like he's going out and getting pleased by other people, and you know that he's also coming home to you at the end of the day? Does that play a role?
Absolutely, yes. And that's even if I wasn't a cuck queen, that was just part of being like open. Like whenever I first started telling some of my friends, like, oh yeah, we're in an open relationship, they were like, what, how is that possible, you know, is that just an excuse for him to cheat on you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, because he's not out with somebody every night. Like, it doesn't even happen that often, you know? And I was like, I feel like with us being open, it means a lot more to me knowing that he's actively choosing me. He doesn't have to sneak around. He doesn't have to lie to me. If there's a girl that he's attracted to or whatever, we talk about it openly, you know? And it's just so, like, a lot of pressure, I feel like, is taken off of the relationship because of that. Like, I'm not always thinking, like, what if? Like, if he's liking girls on Instagram or whatever, he's sending them to me. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So I don't have to, like, worry about, oh, my God, is she prettier than me? Or did it, like, I don't know. I don't have any of those questions that a lot of my friends have in their closed relationships, you know? And I do really love the fact that, you know, his heart is still mine, you know what I'm saying?
Are there particular people, I'm just going to bring myself into it. So I really like when guys that I'm attracted to and girls that I'm attracted to are attracted to people who look like me. Like, it doesn't have to be me, but it's people who are in my same vein. And I get mm-hmm. turned on by thinking about them having sex with people who even look like me. Does that come into play with you at all? Or am I just like a crazy narcissist?
She's a crazy narcissist.
No, I'm the same way. And you know what's funny? I didn't realize that until I was listening to one of y'all's episodes. And I think it was the swinger couple that y'all had on. And I think the woman in that couple said the same thing. And she was like, I don't get jealous because, you know, if the girl's attractive, then I'm probably attracted to her. But like, she likes girls that look like her. And I looked at my husband, I was like, oh my God, that's me. And he was like, what? And I was like, because I'm actually kind of picky. Like, I have to vet every girl. And so he'll be like, what do you think of her? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not really feeling it. Even though it shouldn't matter because I'm not going to be doing anything yeah. with it anyway.
Yeah.
But then, like, it'll be some girl with like a big butt, natural hair, whatever. And I'm like, you know what? This is the girl. Like, I think you need to text her back. I'm like, you know, why are you being so slow to reply? She's waiting. Like,
that's the one. That's the one. It almost, this sounds fucked up, but it almost feels like a stain when your guy goes after a woman who you don't think is attractive. Cause then you're like, yes. Oh, that's who you like. That's
so, it's so funny because you know, like I said, like a lot of my friends in monogamous relationships, they fight with their boyfriends or husbands, whatever, about, you know, him giving attractive girls attention. One time we got in a huge fight because I felt like a girl he was talking to on Plenty of Fish was so ugly. And I was like so hurt. And not to like, not that I don't, like, I hate to even say ugly because I hate to be that kind of person.
Yeah, yeah.
But I couldn't help the way I felt about it. I just felt like she wasn't good enough. And I was like, wait a minute. So you out here just talking to anybody who will say yes. What does that mean about me?
Like, exactly. Looking at your hands like, who am I? Like, in the mirror like,
and
huh?
I feel like I couldn't go to any of my friends to talk about it because they would have been like, girl, what? Like, my man is out here talking to ugly bitch. Like,
you should have came into our inbox because I would have totally related. Exactly. Like, I know. Hey, when he does that shit, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
So do you all plan to do, are you going forward with just like receiving details or are you going to like do a scene again in the future?
Well, I mean, I would love to do, you know, more like actually being there watching it. But, you know, it's hard sometimes to find somebody who's cool with that, you know? And it's funny because, like, I've noticed even with being on Tinder, you see other couples and stuff trying to find a unicorn or whatever. And it's, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So have you actually, like, approached people with that? Like, how does that go?
I haven't really approached too many people, but he'll try sometimes. He'll be, like, you know, talking to a girl. She'll be into him or whatever. And then he's like, oh, by the way, I am married. My wife knows about it, whatever. And that'll freak a lot of women out. But the reason he tells them is because I told him, you're not going to be no fuckboy out here. Like, if girls are out here actually looking for something, I don't want them to be misled. Like, if they're looking for a relationship or whatever, and you're on all these dating sites, like, let them know what's up, you know? Because once again, you're representing me. You're not about to be out here lying and scheming. Yeah. So it gets hard. I feel like especially being down here, like, we're not in some place like New York City or whatever where people are open-minded. Like, coming from like Oklahoma and Texas, like, people real conservative, y'all.
Not to explain your situation, but let me tell you something about Dallas, boy. There is a large swinger, black, sexy population that I think that y'all can tap into.
Really? Give me.
But they can be older, and that might be.
They can be older. You're right. But also, I don't know. It depends on what you're into.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. They some fine ass older people.
They fine as fuck. Tell you that right now. They fine as fuck.
We'll talk off mic. Okay. But no, there's a lot of sexy people in that. And then maybe just like, I don't know, just
finding community.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So even if they're not if they're not people you're into, having that community to then tap into people you are into.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Or go to drinks and be like, he's talking to ugly women. I don't
how do I navigate?
I need support. Yes. I need support. So if that ever were to happen again, or when it did happen, or even when he's telling you like details and stuff like that, are there certain boundaries that you have?
Not really. So like at first we were trying to make boundaries because I felt bad that I don't really care that much. But listening to anybody else in like open relationships, they're always like, oh, I tell them not to kiss other people, or like no anal except for like save something for me. And I'm just like, you know, hell, just go fuck. Like, I don't know. Like, whatever you want to do, like, do it. And he's actually a lot more conservative than I am, so I don't know. I wouldn't be the one to make them. Yeah, he'd be the one like, you know, babe, I just like, if I'm out with somebody else, whatever, he's like, oh, I just didn't know y'all were gonna do that, or I don't like that. I'm like, oh, okay, I won't do it anymore, you know, like, I don't want to make you uncomfortable or whatever. But with me, I don't really care that much. It's like, as long as I know you're feeling good, you know, do your thing.
So back onto that jealousy thing, have you ever felt that emotion in your life, Shayna? Does that just not exist for you?
No, you know, I have felt jealous, but it wasn't like my place to be jealous. Like, let me tell you, the last time I felt jealous like that was when I was in high school and I was actually a side chick and I didn't realize it. There was this guy that I was like messing with, and he told me the whole, oh, me and my girlfriend on a break or whatever, and I believed him. And then there was this, he was a football player, and so there was this sports banquet, and he walked in with his girlfriend, and I was like, hot. I was like, whoa, you know. And but then we kept like messing around and stuff, even after I knew he had a girl and I thought I had feelings. It was a mess. But ever since then, I was like, you know, fuck feelings. I don't care, you know. But like, even in this relationship, like, I don't feel jealous because I know what we have is special. And I just feel very secure in our relationship. Like, I don't feel like anything sexual is enough to tear us apart, you know? Maybe I'd feel jealous if he was like calling some girl after a long day of work, like venting to her instead of coming to talk to me, you know what I'm saying? Or if he was like going through, I don't know, stressful moments or something and he's going to somebody else, like I'd probably feel some type of way about that, you know what I'm saying? But nothing sexually will make me feel jealous, you know? Because like I said earlier, you know, if she's fine enough, hell, I want her too, probably. You know what I'm saying? And if not, you know, with the whole cut queen thing, like, there's really no room for me to feel that jealous, you know, I guess.
I mean, in theory, there's not, because that's the situation that everybody agreed on. But somebody, like, so I asked some of the listeners on Instagram just their general questions about cuckolding and cuckqueening in preparation for this episode. And one person was like, she was with her partner and they had set up the fact that they were going to do it. And he was like really turned on by it and it was happening. And he was like, bitch, what the fuck? You actually fucked him? And then broke up with her and said that she cheated on him.
Yo.
What?
And I think that that's people who kind of can't toe the line between that crazy jealous side that Aku was talking about and the side that turns them on. So it's like, I'm turned on, and then it just flips.
Well, and like we, and we actually like had, it wasn't supposed to be a cuckolding situation, right? So it was like, it was with him, my husband, and another guy, because that was actually our first threesome. My first threesome was male, female. And it was only because I was trying to prove a point, because it was like, you know, we've been open, you've been with girls by yourself, you know, and at that point I hadn't been with anybody, just because, you know, I wasn't looking that hard. It just was whatever. I was getting off just knowing he was out with somebody else. And so then it was this guy and, you know, we hit it off or whatever. And I was like, okay, so since we're open, it's cool for me to just go fuck this guy, right? And then he felt some type of way, but then he was like, you know what? We're an open relationship. It's all about equality and stuff. I don't want to be a fuckboy and tell you you can't go do exactly what I'm doing. And so I did. And then I came back and was like, hey, you want to know all the details? And he's like, no. And so it's not his thing. And so, but then after that, the guy hit me up and was like, hey, you want to hook up again? And so then I was like, oh my God, I've always wanted to be DP'd or whatever.
Wow,
so
you really like, are me. It's crazy.
And I was like, babe, can he come over and, you know, we can do this. I'd love to be like, you know, the center of attention with two guys. I think that'd be super hot. And so my husband was like, I don't know. I don't want him to touch me or whatever. Like, you know, stuff like that. All like straight guys are weird about it. And I was like, no, it's not about y'all even looking at each other. It's about me, whatever. And so we get into it and everything, and I don't know, my husband just wasn't really into it, I guess. And so then me and this other guy are like going at it, and he was upset. And like, this is where communication comes in, because I really didn't know the signs. I didn't really pay attention to the fact that he wasn't into it. And so I'm just really having a great old time. And so then after that whole ordeal, he was like, y'all feel like a cuck, you know, this guy just fucked my girl right in front of me. And I was like, whoa, is that a problem? Like, what happened? He was like upset. And so I was like, oh shit. Okay. So that's not your thing. Cool. You know, that's not something that has to happen. Maybe if I ever want to do the DP, I'll have to just go do that elsewhere, or maybe we can work up to that. But at the time it caught him off guard, basically. So, but no, he didn't like leave me or nothing like that. Like, yeah. I feel bad for old girl. But it is crazy when you're in this type of relationship, like, things, you don't know what you're going to feel until you're in the situation.
Cuck queening your thing, cuck holding not your husband's thing.
Definitely not his.
Got it. So your friends know that you're in an open relationship. Do they know that this is something that turns you on? Like, that this is your kink?
I think I told one friend, but I can't really remember. I'm not open about it. Just because I know they'll think it's weird. They already can't get past the open relationship part. And so, But they're, my friends aren't like super judgmental about it. They're just like, oh, girl, that's not for me. And so I feel like if I came to them like even further, like, oh, and by the way, I like to be there and watch while he's fucking other girls, they'd be like, okay, like, what's really going on?
What are y'all doing over there? You okay?
Like, yeah, are you serious? Like, so. But then, like, I'm trying, like, a part of me wanting to, you know, come on the show and talk about it, too, is that I'm wanting to be, like, just more open about who I am. Like, even down to me, like, coming to the conclusion that I'm pansexual, like, that's not something that a lot of people know about me. I talked about it on my podcast or whatever, and so anybody who listens to it would know, but outside of that, nobody really knows it. And so, I don't know, I'm tired of feeling closeted about, like, different parts of who I am. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, it's easy for people to understand, like, oh, being closeted as far as your sexuality or whatever. But even just things like what turns me on, like it's, or even just our relationship dynamic, like I'm a grown woman, I pay all my own bills. And yet I'm sitting here being scary about who knows what, like, this is what we do. It's working. You know, like I said, we've been together almost 6 years now. And I mean, he's 25, I'm 24, and I know that's not like a super long time or whatever, but I think it's pretty long considering.
6 years is a goddamn long time.
Regardless how old you are.
Yeah.
6 whole years.
Y'all are together. Like,
okay. Sam asked the question about being turned on by him interacting with women that look like you. Do you think you'd ever be turned on and interested in him interacting with friends? Or family members?
Like my friends?
Spicy.
Or his friends. Just like people in your close circle.
You know what's so funny? I would love that. Like, I wish, like, but those same friends who look at me crazy about being open, I know they would never be comfortable with that, you know? But like,
you
I freaking
know. I'm like,
wish.
You'd be surprised. You said y'all was like, open.
Aku is gay now. Okay. And 3 years ago, I would have never.
There's a twinkle in one of them girls' eyes when you said your marriage was open, and she was like, ooh, let me act like
she's over here having dreams and keeping it to herself, like, oh, this is weird.
I wish she wouldn't, like, tell me. I'm going to tell my friends to listen to this episode and, like,
yes.
Ladies,
slide
feel
in.
Free. Yeah.
Discreetly text me.
Do you think there would be a hint of jealousy that would come up in there, and a possibility, given that these people are intimate
people?
I don't think
so. Just because, like, he talks about some of my friends all the time. Like, he'll be like, oh, she's so pretty, or, oh, you know,
boy,
she got some big old titties or whatever. Like,
I
would, you know. Like, so it's not like that is a weird thought. Like, oh, my God, mm-hmm. He's looking at my friend. I'm just like, you know. I'm waiting for her to look back. Hell.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Y'all are open.
If that
y'all
happens, write us and let us know.
That is riveting. I am very...
I need to hear about this.
Yes. Would you do this with other men outside of your husband?
Just watching another man?
Watching or even... Well, y'all are open. Do you just have sex with other people or do you date other people?
Just sex. We're not polyamorous, mm-hmm. You know, but we're open. So... But I don't, like, I hate, it's kind of weird, though, because it's, like, when you start to develop, like, you know, a vibe or a relationship or whatever with somebody, it's hard not to be, like, okay, this is just fucking and nothing else, you know. Like, the girl that we had the threesome with, like, me and her, like, hung out, you know. And it's funny because, like, on Tumblr all the time I see posts where this girl's like, I just want a girl that could be my friend and we could eat each other out. And so, and it was kind of like that. So I had like what every gay girl on Tumblr wants, but it got sticky kind of, you know what I'm saying? Cause it was like, well, this isn't poly. Like, I'm not poly. You're not my girlfriend. And I don't want you getting feelings, but at the same time, you're cool. And I don't want to seem like an asshole just calling you up, like bring that ass here. You know what I'm saying? So it's, we're still trying to figure that out. Like how far, you know, because when you, especially like I said, it's really hard to kind of find girls who are like open to this type of stuff. And so you don't want to keep starting over all the time. So we're still figuring all that out. But as of right now, we do not identify as polyamorous, but that could change.
Such tricky waters to navigate. It's mm-hmm. all like a slippery slope. Emphasis on the slippery. Yeah. So you said that you wanted to like come out more in your identity as a pansexual and as a cuck queen. Are there other, are you consuming materials about it? Are you reading? Are you trying to talk to other people? Or are you just kind of like doing a thought process in your head?
I was like reaching out and trying to find people and stuff. We joined like some kick groups and all that. And like right now in our lives, like we're kind of all over the place. So like we're living in Oklahoma, then we moved to Dallas. Like I'm actually back in Oklahoma. Like it's been a shit show. We moved to Dallas and we were only there for a month, you know, and then we're back. And so we plan on going back eventually. It's just a lot is going on right now. And so I haven't been focusing on that so much, just trying to get our shit together, you know. But like here in Oklahoma, though, we were in like kick groups and, you know, talking to people on Tumblr and whatever else. But the scene was kind of like lame where we were. And like we went to a sex club, right? Which is fun, actually, because I realized then I like having sex in front of people. Like I like watching, but I also like being watched, apparently. I didn't know that until that night. But I wasn't really attracted to anybody in there. We were the only Black people there. And we were also the youngest people there, which I know in like the swinger lifestyle, being young is kind of like rare. So that's like, you know, normal. But it did bother me because like the whole time we were being like super fetishized or whatever. And like even in the kick group we were in, we were the only I was the only Black woman. So there's a couple other Black guys. And like I would always get messages and stuff like, do you like white guys? And I'm like, oh, my God, stop. Like I. Yeah, and it's like, I don't care. Like, I like everybody or whatever, but that question makes it weird. And then they're also like, oh my God, I've never had Black pussy before. I can't wait. I'm like, you will never touch me. Like, please stop messaging me. Like, so, you know, like y'all were saying, I would love to learn more about the community down in Dallas, because even if they're older, just knowing there's other people of color or just whatever, I don't know. People here, it's kind of. Ugh.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It might be, I mean, you guys aren't poly, but it might be worth it to join some of like the Black and poly groups, because some of the tenets and beliefs and just values and questions and advice that comes up, I'm sure it's going to fit in line mm-hmm. in some sort of way. So we'll also pass those along to you as well. Now for some juicy stuff. Now this whole thing has been juicy, but was there like a time where he came home with the deets and it was just like, I am so fucking wet right now, where it was just like, this is the hottest thing that I have ever heard him say?
Yeah. So the very first night was probably the best. And I think it was just because the anticipation and everything, and I didn't know what I was going to feel or whatever. So like the whole time he was gone, I was like curled up on the couch, just kind of like thinking to myself, like, Shane, are you sure you're okay? Like, you know, whatever. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling good or whatever. And so I was like shaking, waiting for him to get home. And then when he came home, I like pounced him. I was like, okay, tell me everything, whatever. And that's when he was like, he was upset because he was like, first of all, I got over there and she was on her period. I don't know why she didn't tell me. And I was like, oh, that sucks. So nothing happened. He was like, nah, she gave me like some amazing head or whatever. And so it was just head, but it was like, so hot because he was like telling me what she was doing with her tongue and how she was grabbing him and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, damn, is she better than me? And then he was like, oh, no, I was like, you just saying that. And I was like, what does she do that I don't do? So that's when he was like, oh, you know, she did something with two hands or something. I don't remember, a couple years ago. But I was like, bet, like, I'm about to be gargling on some balls tonight. Like,
yeah. Like,
so, but I remember I was like, so turned on. I was so wet. And I was like, oh my God, like snail trail and all that. I was like, I don't know what's going on, but I need more of this. And so I was like, okay, so you're about to get back on POF and whatever, find you your next girl. Like, you know, like whatever, when you gonna call her back? Cause I need this, like, I need more of this. Like I need a fix. You know, it was like, I was hooked.
I love it. Was there ever a time where he was like flat out, yeah, she was better than you?
No, which, so I don't like to think too highly of myself or nothing, thinking like, oh, he'll never find anybody who can do things that I can't or whatever, but maybe he just hasn't found that yet. I would like to think that he's not lying to me about it, because there's no reason to, cause like, you know, like I said,
you don't have jealousy with it,
you know, but he hasn't yet. And also, like I said earlier, he's such a sweetheart. He kind of sometimes gets in his own head. So like he'll go out and he'll come back and be like, oh man, it was so hard for me to come because like I was thinking of you the whole time. And I'm like, what? Why? Forget me. Like, I'm like, what the hell? You know, and he's like, oh, she just wasn't you. And I'm just like, oh my God, I love you so much.
Being a fucking sweetheart and shit.
I know.
Meanwhile, like, you over here trying to get the details.
So maybe with, you know, more exposure or something. I don't know, but so far that hasn't happened. Oh, but I actually, you know what? With old girl that we had the threesome with. So I have a pretty big butt, but it's like a muscle butt, if that makes any sense. So it's like pretty like firm.
Samantha's just identifying with you.
We are the same person.
And so, but like the other girl, like her butt is super soft, you know, and it was just like jiggly, and he was like into that. And so I was like, okay, he just talking about this girl's butt for weeks. And I was like, okay, I get it. Damn, she got a soft ass. I felt it. Shit, you know. And so it wasn't like jealousy, but it was like, well, you know, maybe he's into the softer butts. Like, I can't give him that. But, I mean, her butt was like just really stupid soft. So. I was like, did I do too many squats in my lifetime? Like, it backfired.
Just can't revert back. It won't turn into fat. It's only muscle.
Has he ever come home with a bad story?
Yes. Oh, my God. So while we were still in college, he went and hooked up with some girl. And, oh, my God, was she on her period, too? I think she was. Or maybe she just like chickened out or something. I don't know. But she was like, I'm gonna just give you head. And he said it was like the worst head he's ever gotten. But he like felt bad. He didn't want to just walk away. But he said that like she was just going and going and going. And he was not like coming anytime soon. He said he was starting to go soft. And he was like, finally, he was like, well, I got to go because it's getting late and I have class or something. Like he made up some story and came back. And I was like, what a waste of time. Like I wanted to go fight her. Cause I was like, excuse me. Don't you ever give my man terrible head ever.
Right, this
girl. How dare you?
That's funny.
But that didn't turn you on.
No, that did not. I was so like irritated because I was like, how hard is it to just suck a dick? Damn. Like I was like, girl. But you know what? I just remembered a boundary we do have is no staying the night. Right? Mm-hmm. Like you can't like stay and cuddle up or nothing like that if you go to somebody's house. And one time he didn't stay the night, but he was out like way late. It was like 3 a.m. And I'm like, so I guess you just staying, you live with her now? Like, you want me to send your shit over there? Because he didn't call or anything. And I was like, are you dead? Like, you better be.
Did
like,
she kill you?
Yeah. And then to make it worse, we later found out she a damn Trump supporter. And I was like, fuck
you. She could have killed you. Nah, I'd be ready to fight. She really could have killed you. That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah, I was like, what kind of shit? You know, so that was like a breakdown of communication or whatever. Because he was like, you know, she just wanted to sit and talk for so long. And we didn't get started doing anything for a while. And, you know, because he had like a class with her or something. So she wanted to talk about their class. And I was like, is she trying to date you? Like, what
is going on? Yeah, she's trying to build a relationship.
Why are you not getting to know each other? Like, what the fuck? So that was, yeah, that's the boundary though right there. It's like, you come home to me, you know. And I guess I don't make him, but it's kind of my expectation at this point now because he always does. Mm-hmm. But, so yeah, do no Trump like supporters
that. Yeah, that's a hard boundary. That's just off that, no. Let's segue into some questions from the listeners.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So we got this question a couple of times and I'm not really sure how to answer it myself. But a couple of people asked us, is cucking cisgender heterosexual centric? Like, is it only for cisgender heterosexual couples?
Or is it even the way it's just commonly presented?
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's just the way it's commonly presented because I don't see why you couldn't have a trans bull or trans cupcake. I don't see why that would be an issue.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't see so either. Yeah, I was trying to explore in my head what the boundary would be, other than the fact that you only see like these couplings on Pornhub or whatever. But
mm-hmm. Right,
I mean,
right.
What's to stop anyone from
doing what they want to do?
Yeah, or deriving pleasure from mm-hmm. it.
But I'm sure, like, if you got on Tumblr, I guarantee you could find something that's not just the norm. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. I feel like you could find anything on Tumblr.
Definitely. Next question.
Someone asked, does cuckolding have racist origins?
You know, I don't even know, like, all the history of it like that. Mm-hmm. But I think the reason people would assume that is just because, like I said earlier, when you see cuckolding, it's usually a white man with a black bull, mm-hmm. you know, banging his white wife. And it's like, oh, you know, I can't satisfy my wife for my small penis, so I had to go get her a BBC or whatever. It'll mm-hmm. be like the whole narrative. Mm-hmm. And which is why even I thought it was weird when I first saw it, because I don't really get anything out of like race play or anything like that, mm-hmm. you know. And so I can see why people would assume that. And maybe it does have that. Maybe that is the origin, but that's not the case for me.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. A quick Google search of cuckold, if you type in racist or black or African, because I can't read it right now, I'm just typing in all these keywords and I don't see anything like that. So, but definitely on okay. Pornhub, there is some sort yeah. of weird, I don't know. Pornhub's really okay, weird lately.
I feel like Pornhub is kind of racist anyway. Like, am I the only one who feels that way? Like, I was talking to a friend and I was like, why is it that, like, the ebony porn is the only place you see like black women? Like, why aren't black women like on the thumbnails of like just lesbian or babe or whatever the other categories they have? And he said I was crazy, but I was like,
nah. Pornhub is wild problematic for many yeah. many reasons. That's for a different episode. White people on the internet use the word cuck as an insult. Does that make you feel any particular way?
No.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have seen it. I usually see guys say it to other guys, though, because I think it's part of their whole, like, masculinity thing. Like, no real man would be comfortable with his woman getting banged by another guy or whatever. Or it's like a sign of weakness. Because usually, once again, if you watch porn, the husband or the boyfriend or whatever getting cucked is like this weak little man. And then this big black guy comes in and is like, he's a better man than, you know, the husband or whatever. And so I can see why that's an insult. But like, for me, it's not, because I mean, I don't do the degrading part of it. Like, I don't need another girl to come in and be like, your pussy's trash and I'm taking your man. Like, I don't need, like, that doesn't, even if she said that, I wouldn't be moved, because I'm like, I know you lying. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, what was the, like, just fuck him and like, shut up. I get, like, you don't have to do all that. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. A part of me feels like the word cuck, because like calling other men gay kind of became socially unacceptable. That's just the next best attack on someone's masculinity mm-hmm. yeah. you can do.
Yeah, you're less of a man because you cannot pleasure your person. Exactly. So someone else has exactly. to come and do it for you.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. But fuck all that noise.
In what ways is it gratifying?
I like to see, like, you know, when you're having sex sometimes, like, you can't see what your partner looks like unless you have like a mirror or something. And so it's cool though to be able to just step back and see like the faces he's making when he's like stroking, or, you know, just the way his body moves and the way he can caress another, like, I don't know, it's just really nice to just see him, like,
how he grabs another person. Yeah. Because you've never seen it, like, from that perspective. Wow. That is profound.
I feel like that's why I'm drawn to, like, mirrors on ceilings.
I love that
or
shit.
Or, like, very mirrored rooms. Yeah. Because I'm trying to get all these angles. Yeah. But to be able to step back and see exactly. that shit in real time. Yeah.
And, like, even that's, like, my husband, like, when he watches porn, you know, I'm like, I don't really like watching heterosexual porn that much. Like, it bores me, number one, because it's like, if it's a 30-minute video, it's 15 minutes of the girl giving a guy a head, and that does yep. nothing mm-hmm. for me.
Yep. 2 seconds of pussy, like, licking, if any.
And so I ask him, like, what does he get out of it? And he's like, because I put myself in the guy's place, and it's like, you know, as if it's being done to me. And so I was like, at first I didn't get that. But now, like, with this, if I'm watching him with somebody else or even hearing him talk about what he did, it's like I could put myself in her place, you know? And it's like, okay. And I know that sounds weird, because it's like, it's my husband. Like, I don't have to imagine being in her place. Like, I could just be in her place, because, like, you know, it's like, but it's just kind of like this fantasy thing. I don't know.
The human mind.
Yeah, I don't know.
The mind is just amazing. Like, why are we even here? Like, we are just specks in space.
Let's not start.
Sex is just. Oh, I'm sorry. I was really gonna get deep.
I know you
were. Sometimes I'm having sex and I'm just. We are just like two fleshy bodies just slapping against each other. Like, what are we doing right now? And then I get.
Damn, you are me. Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
I always thought I was just a lonely weirdo out here. Like, no,
there is always Samantha to affirm you and your existence. There is always Samantha.
Yeah.
If one partner derives more pleasure from the kink than the other, would you consider this inherently selfish?
I don't know if I'd call it selfish. Simply because, like, we talk about it. Like, you know how I was saying, like, we found out that he's very much not into being cucked or whatever, and this is definitely just, like, my thing. But anything that makes him uncomfortable, I don't have to have it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can cut it out. We can, you know, whatever, because at the end of the day, he's my priority. And so I think that's what keeps it from turning it into a selfish situation. Because if I just kind of was like, you know, fuck you, I want to do what I want to do, then yeah, that's selfish. But I feel like even outside of like the whole cucking thing in a relationship, anytime you say fuck you to the other person's feelings, that's self, you know, that would be a problem. You know what I'm saying? And it could be literally anything. So no, like even though like this is like my kink, I don't think that it's inherently selfish just because it's not also his, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That can be said with like any sexual practice that you don't particularly... It's not your favorite thing in the world, but you do it because it makes your partner happy. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So our last question is a bit of a story, and I'm gonna paraphrase it, but basically someone, a non-binary individual, slid in our DMs about a little conundrum that they're in right now. So they, and I don't think you have any experience on this, but help us answer this question.
Okay.
So they and their partner broke up, right? They broke up at some point. Yeah. And their partner got back together with an ex. And one night the non-binary person was in bed and they thought really hard about the person with their ex having sex, and then they jerked off to that thought, and it was like an amazing jerk off session. And at some point the person left their ex and they got back together. The primary couple got back together. And the partner then introduced cuckolding as a way to, I guess they thought about cuckolding in the first place from this place of pain, and now they actually want to do it. But the issue is, well, I feel like there are several issues, but one of the issues is that their partner is demisexual and probably won't want to engage in a cuckolding situation because they only want to have sex in very specific instances. So they don't mm-hmm. want to have sex with anybody just because their partner wants to watch them having sex. So a couple of questions they have are, what do they do because their partner is demisexual? Is it healthy to even go down this route of cuckolding when it stemmed from a place of trauma? And this is actually one of their questions. Is it selfish for the non-binary partner to even have asked their partner this in the first place?
Like, so demisexual is like you have to have like a relationship or something before you even want to have sex with somebody? Like
some kind of emotional connection.
Right. And so they probably... if they were gonna do it, it would probably only be with like that ex, I'm assuming, like, or somebody they feel something with.
Yeah, a very close individual. But the ex is now off the table because the ex is apparently an asshole.
Right. And so I just feel like that would just be an issue all in itself, like that right there, you know, because you wouldn't want to pressure somebody you love to do something that goes against who they are, right? So if they're demisexual, you can't be like, okay, if your ex is off the table, we got to find some rando for you to like have sex with. Like, yeah. And you know that goes against their very nature. You know what I'm saying?
It can be even sociopathic to be like, all right, here, connect with this person.
Yeah. Make
right.
friends
yeah.
with them.
Like, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like that, I don't know how they would even get past that, mm-hmm. honestly.
Well, if they're fucking friends.
Right,
which you don't even know if they want to do that.
Yeah,
it's very
that's a lot.
It is quite a bit. And the second part of the question, is it healthy to pursue cuckolding when it has stemmed from a place of trauma?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so. Just because to me that's kind of like Like girls who like agree to have a threesome with another girl just because that's what their boyfriends want and it's not what they want. If it's not something that you really just want, I don't know. Cause like for me, it didn't stem from a place of trauma. It just was like, you know,
just with the shits.
Yeah, you like it. You know? And so there was never any like extra strings attached. Like, I don't know, maybe it would be okay if you were just really in tune with yourself and your boundaries. I don't know. I don't even know if I helped this person.
I think they were like just looking for advice because it's such a loaded. Mm-hmm. So any perspective is good. Cool. You also had that's something that you had said off mic. That.
Well, yeah. So like I'm looking at the question now and it's like, can cuckolding stem from trauma? And I feel like anything can stem from trauma. Traumatic experiences give you an opportunity to kind of find new parts of yourself, or realize any experience, but traumatic experiences can show you a different part of yourself and what characteristics will come out of you facing this certain situation. So anything can stem out of trauma. The question is, if so, is it healthy to embrace this kink? And like I said off mic, it's if you have resolved or processed this trauma within this relationship. So the issue was, you know, being so hurt with them, or your partner being with someone else, now that you two are back together, have you processed this? Or, you know, is it something you guys have resolved and gotten through together? And if so, and if this is, you know, the idea of cucking is still something that arouses you, excites you, by all means, embrace it, you know, because that's the thing about going through traumatic experiences and getting through the other side. The person that you are on the other side, you should embrace and move forward because you're now in a positive place. You have these other traits and qualities about yourself that you are a new you in a positive light, we hope. So, like, once you've processed and resolved it. So, you know, if you guys have done that and this is still something that you're interested in, and you should try to embrace it, but then also keeping in mind all these other factors that is in this loaded ass question. Yeah. Like, so yes, yeah, you guys have processed it. You're still down, but she's demisexual. How are we going to do that?
Yeah.
Does she want to do it? You know, is cucking her thing? Mm-hmm. And, you know, then kind of trying to navigate all of that to see, you know, if it works for you guys and if you can embrace it as a couple. And if not, you know, open relationships, is that something you can do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that also goes back to, have you resolved that trauma of her being with someone else? Because you can't do an open relationship if you're triggered by them being with someone else.
Yeah.
It's all red flags. So really, you know, it's a conversation the two of you need to have and kind of really process.
Yeah.
Right. And you know what? Now that you say that, that makes me think that maybe my situation did kind of stem from trauma as well, because it's like it wasn't direct though.
Mm-hmm.
It's like some of my earliest sexual experiences were like, you know, assault and things like that. Like, they were very, very negative.
Mm-hmm.
And so I formed this very like separation. I didn't feel anything from sex. Like, it was just something that I did, right? And it wasn't until I started dating my husband where I was like, oh, you can actually love somebody and have like a healthy sexual relationship with them or whatever, you know. But I've always kind of had a disconnect between like my feelings and sex or whatever. And so maybe that's why it's so easy for me to do, you know, cuckolding or cuckqueening, because there's really no emotional ties for me in anything sexual, even with somebody who I love the most. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't put too much emotional, like, you know, energy into, oh, he's out having sex. Like, I don't feel like I'm losing anything from that, you know. But that's why I said, like, the part about if he was confiding in somebody else about like stress or heartache or anything like that, that's what would like tear me up, you know. So I mean, I don't know, maybe like what Akua said, like, this person could very well use this traumatic experience or whatever to be okay doing it. But like I said earlier, you just kind of have to know yourself and make sure you're really working through your problems and not using this to fix it, you know. So I don't know,
I cannot have said it better myself. Look at you two.
Thank you, Shayna, for sharing that.
Being therapy sessions
I'm
out here.
Exactly.
Sometimes it comes up.
Yeah. Are there any final words about cuckqueening that you would like to impart on the audience before we end?
It's different for everybody. you know, it, you don't have to have like the whole degradation and humiliation and all that if you don't want to. There's no like rules to it. Just make sure you and your partner communicate. Like, I feel like anybody you've had on here in some sort of alternative like lifestyle or, you know, relationship, they always probably say communication.
Yeah,
I know it sounds so cliche.
The tagline of the show, basically.
But literally, it is, you know, and actually us like opening up our relationship led to us just being better communicators overall. Like, we literally talk about everything. Like, he'll call me at work to be like, hey, I'm about to spend $20 on Amazon. Is that cool? And it's like, yeah, like we talk about everything. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, yeah.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it. All right. Thank you so much, Shayna, for joining us on this episode of Inner Ho Uprising. Please let the listeners know if and where they can find you on the web and where they can listen to A Speck in Space.
Okay. So we are on SoundCloud, Spotify,
yes,
iTunes, and Google Play.
Nice.
Just search A Speck in Space. And then our socials are A Speck in Space without the I. So it's just the letter N for the word N. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We have a Facebook page, but I mean, I don't really pay that much
Facebook
attention.
It's Facebook. Yeah, it's Facebook.
So mostly Instagram and Twitter is where you can find us, just hanging out or whatever.
Awesome.
So give us a follow. We'll follow back.
For sure. And shout out to y'all for being Black people doing a tech podcast.
Yes.
We're kind of nerds.
I like that shit.
Oh, I love y'all's Blurred episode, by the way. That was intense. I was at work dying. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Ooh. That's never going to happen again. Something like that will never happen again. But thank you for being here. And thank you for writing in.
Yes.
Pitching yourself.
Thanks for having me. This was really fun. I was excited to be on. I love y'all.
Yay.
Thank you. We love you too.
We do. Good conversation with Shayna.
Oh my God. That was an amazing conversation. I really love the way it went.
I feel very validated.
I actually even feel more open to it now. You know, I've thought about this jealousy part and I'm like, communication. If there is jealousy, I can excuse myself from the situation.
Yeah.
They can finish. You know, I don't excuse myself to get a knife. No, I excuse myself. I can call. I can call Samantha and Vince about it.
Yeah.
You know, when they're done, my partner and I can process it, you know, and see if you want to move there.
This
is what Shayna did.
Is growth.
Like,
of Kelly from Insecure, growth. My nigga,
in real
growth.
Time. But I'm
that's
like,
amazing.
And just listening to it, like, I just, the part that excites me was just so heightened and affirmed.
Yeah.
That it was like, you have to at least try this. You have to open that door and, you know, not be crazy about it, bitch. You can't go to jail.
Yeah.
All right, you'll be fine.
But you also have to do it with a good nigga, because there's a part of these niggas that makes me buy into the part that scares you. Like, just them doing whatever kind of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're, you have to find a nigga who's actually going to take care of you in this situation, mm-hmm, and not just like any old dumbass nigga.
Yeah,
I'm in an anti-men mood right now for no particular reason even.
It sounds like it would have to be like a partner, like someone I've set foundations and roots with before I do this. Because if I'm doing it with a nigga that I'm fucking, it's going to go left. It's gonna go all the way left.
I don't even want to imagine that situation, to be honest.
Because they don't even communicate with me, and
they don't even communicate with themselves, Akua.
Like,
they don't even do that. They don't even know why they're mad.
Like,
or sad.
This is
or happy.
Like, this is because I don't. I want to say this, but I don't. Because I've literally like asked a man to communicate, and he what it boiled down to, he was like, nah, I can't even do that. And I was like, words, nigga, you just cannot.
I don't have them.
Say words.
He didn't. Just shrugged.
He had nothing else. Like, so this.
He had nothing else. He said the shrug emoji.
Yeah, this is that. That was it. So yeah, it cannot be a nigga I'm just fucking or dating. This would probably have to be a partner. So I don't know when this is gonna happen, but one day, it's on the bucket list. One day I will do it.
I think that's why I'm having an anti-men week, and why all of my hoes are just like, you disgust me, you dumb son of a bitch. Because they're just dumb.
They are just no.
It's just like, where's really the conversation here? Like, what are we really? Are you actually saying anything?
No,
you're not. And I'm saying a lot. And I don't even talk like that. So, yeah.
There's more effort from you to exactly prolong it.
Yeah, because I also feel like emotionally drained talking to it. It's like, we don't even be talking about draining stuff, but I'm just like,
doing so much labor to keep this going that I no longer want to do
it. I don't
want to
do it. So
goodbye.
Goodbye. All of you. All of my hosts. Goodbye.
Samantha's going to be very sad in about 3 months where she looks around and there ain't no hoes.
Where the hoes go? These niggas is in relationships and shit. But honestly, they'll still cheat.
Yeah.
I really don't give a fuck.
She'll still call them. They will still come current.
Yeah.
So. That is Samantha's main goal.
Oh, God. Wow. I am awful. That is so funny. All right.
That's why I love you.
Thank you.
It really is. The essence of Samantha that I'm like, yes. It affirms my awfulness, and that's why I love it. It's like, this wonderful black woman is awful, too? Bitch, you fine. You just
awful. It's called real. Yeah, that's at the show.
Yes. So if you guys would like to follow us on social media, you can do so by following at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inaho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can go to InahoUprising.com to pay a hoe. Check out merch. We got new merch coming.
Hey.
You guys can follow me, Aku, at Hey, Aku Girl, HeyAkuAgirl, on Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me at SlamRid with 2 Ds on Instagram and Twitter. All of that available in the description of this episode, along with where you can find Shayna's information.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And the GoFundMe.
Oh, yes, the GoFundMe. Thanks. Danny and Cleo.
Everybody.
All that shit. Yeah, all that shit. All right, bye.
Bye.